Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you, and you're going to be glad you hung out with me, too, because we got a new friend on the show with us right now. Wayne Allen Root is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps you've seen him on television recently, or maybe years ago you saw him on the Financial News Network, FNN, which was now called CNBC. He was an anchor and a host on that network. He was the 2008 Libertarian vice presidential candidate. He's a small business owner. He's a dad. He's the author of The Conscience of a Libertarian, brand spanking new book. And I wanted him to come on the show and talk to us a little bit about the views of a libertarian. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jim, and you got to mention the subtitle of the book, because I'll tell you, that's what gets people's attention. It's The Conscience
Empowering the Citizen Revolution with God, Guns, Gambling, and Tax Cuts.
There you go.
Wayne, let me see. What do you really stand for, Wayne?
God, Guns, Gambling, and Tax Cuts. I think that sums it up. They left one name out of the subtitle, Jim, because they thought it was too long, the publisher. It was supposed to be God, Guns, Gambling, School Choice, and Tax Cuts. Because that's what I really stand for. I'm a homeschool dad of four young kids, a Jew turned born-again Christian, someone who has been able to merge my religious beliefs with my political beliefs, and those are two very different things, and I think you'll find it interesting.
I love the title, and I love the subtitle, but I'll tell you, Wayne, I could have shortened it even more.
Tell
and I know you'll agree
said.
With me. But it wouldn't have been good for the book, but I could have shortened it. The Conscience of a Libertarian, Empowering Liberty.
Well, that would have worked. That would have been a lot simpler.
all these things that you talk about are about liberty, aren't they?
They're all about liberty.
Which is the root word of libertarian.
Well, so many hosts ask me, Jim, why do I put in the subtitle that mixture of God, guns, gambling, and tax cuts? And why would I have added school choice, by the way? And the real answer is, that's not just what I believe in, it's also the constituencies that I believe can elect a libertarian president.
Yeah.
See, libertarians have never thought about politics before. I'm a guy who aims to win. I want to win a presidential election as the Ross Perot of 2012.
Well, let me ask you a question. A lot of people have heard about libertarians, but they might not exactly know the difference between a libertarian and a Democrat and a Republican. Would you tell us that now, please?
Yeah, sure. Well, remember, not everybody's exactly the same. I'm a libertarian conservative. That's a different twist. I'm a Barry Goldwater, Ronald Reagan guy. If you're a fan of Barry Goldwater or Ronald Reagan, then you know you're dealing with a fellow believer. I'm someone who believes in economic and personal freedom. I'm as conservative as you get. But on certain bedroom issues, I don't think it's conservatives who want the government to stuff its view down your throat. So I just think government should stay out of our lives completely, the federal government, and I'd like, as much as possible, individuals to have freedom and their own free will to do what they want as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. So I don't want the government in the boardroom or the bedroom.
Well, I agree with you on that. And one of the things, though, I think that the libertarian brand has a problem with is sometimes they come across extreme in some ways. In other words,
I agree. By the way, you're getting some of the
things. I've got other friends who are staunch libertarians, and I am to a large degree aligned with libertarian views. But I think I am more of a Ronald Reagan type of guy. But the thing is that sometimes I think the ideas of libertarians, the average American likes a lot of those things. But when you say some things like we want the government completely out of our lives, I think some people say, well, wait a minute, you know, there may be some things that I like about the government being in my life.
Well, you know, they may be mistaken.
they're not mistaken, Wayne, because it's how they feel. But I'll tell you something, never let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And that's a big
I agree.
I think that's something some political parties need to understand. What do you think?
Well, listen, I was a lifelong Republican, so if your audience, and I'm assuming your audience is mostly Republican conservative.
I don't assume that. No, you can't assume that, because there are people of every stripe out there.
No, but let me tell you why I assume that, because the name of your network is the Small Business Network that you're
That's
on.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I am the ultimate small businessman. As a matter of fact, I ran, I was the Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate, and I like to say in the history of modern America, I'm the only guy who was like one of the founding fathers running on a presidential ticket. I'm a small businessman, I'm a homeschool dad, I'm an SOB, son of a butcher, and I'm a citizen politician. There's nobody else out there like me. My whole life is built around owning small businesses, and my criticism of Barack Obama is that he's never run a business in his life. He's never owned a business in his life. He's never managed a business in his life.
Sadly, Alan, many Republicans are the same way. And I agree with you on that. I think we need to have one of the requirements for running for office is that you have to have made a payroll at some point in time. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with Wayne Allen Root, the author of The Conscience of a Libertarian. When we come back, we're going to find out more about libertarian views. Stay with us.
Well, I was moving down the road in my V8 Ford. I had a shine on my boots. I had my sideburns low with my New York brim.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. We built it just for you. Lots of good stuff there. In fact, new stuff coming up over the weekend. You're going to see a new look, a new feel, some new navigation, and I think you're going to like it. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Subscribe to my blog if you want. You can find it right there. My knowledge base, askjim.biz, is right there. You can ask questions and get answers. Lots of stuff there. Hope you'll check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Wayne Allen Root is our new friend, folks, soon to be old friend. He's the 2008 Libertarian Vice Presidential nominee. He's the author of the brand spanking new book, The Conscience of a Libertarian. It's outstanding, folks. You're going to want this. If you're not a libertarian, you're going to want to know what the libertarians are up to. And if you think you might want to be, or if you are, you definitely want to read what Wayne has to say. Wayne, I was talking in the break, I mean before the break, about the fact that libertarians sometimes have views that are not mainstream. They're even if some people might agree with you if they thought about it, they haven't thought about it very much. And one example is most libertarians I know want to abolish the Federal Reserve Bank.
Well, again, if they think about it a little bit, you'll read my book. My book is dedicated just to what you said a little while ago, Jim. You said don't let the perfect get in the way of the good.
Right.
And my book gives people what I would call the perfect answer on a lot of questions, and then it gives them what's the reasonable compromise. And so as an example, when I talk about taxes, I say I'd love to end income taxes. Here's three ideas that could end income taxes completely and get rid of the IRS. But now let's be realistic. Is that really going to happen? Probably not. I'll fight for it. But realistically, let's have a flat tax, just like they've had in Hong Kong for the last 50 years with the number one
economy. And guess what? Russia
now
has a flat tax. How about that?
Correct. 12%, by the way, a fantastic number.
Yeah, but so, Russia, imagine Russia being ahead of us on tax policy.
Well, they are. Listen, it was Putin who just said literally a couple months ago, but the liberal press didn't publicize this very loudly. Putin said America has abandoned capitalism under Barack Obama. How about that one? Putin's calling us a communist, Jim. Can you imagine? So when the topic of the Fed comes up, I'll give you the perfect ideal, and then I'll tell you what's realistic. The perfect ideal is I'd love to get rid of the Fed because I think they are literally ruining our economy, and I think they are an organization that has been given all the rights and responsibilities to take over our lives and manage all the money.
What would you replace it with, though?
Well, I think the gold standard is the natural thing to replace it with. Our country did much better.
Back to the gold standard. But see, the thing is, a lot of people believe that the Fed has been instrumental in preventing us from having a meltdown over the last 12 months. So when you say abolish the Fed, even though you may be right, and they may wind up thinking they'd be happier under that, at this moment, in order to get your libertarian views across, don't you guys need to soften things up a little bit and try to deliver a message that's a little bit with a little more sugar?
Listen, I could tell people, I could spend a whole hour of this interview just telling you how damaging the Fed's been to our economy and that they haven't helped it, they've caused it. But let's forget about all that. Here's the reasonable answer. You never let me get out. The reasonable answer is just audit the Fed and make sure they're accountable and responsible to the American taxpayer. Don't leave them completely unaccountable, which is what they are now. For those who are listening and don't know, the Fed merely prints money at the behest of the president and Congress. Whenever they want money and they want a new social program to expand government and waste taxpayer money, they just give the Fed the word, and the Fed listens to whatever the president wants, and boom, they print $2 trillion in new money, and all of our children and grandchildren are left much poorer.
You know what I'd like to do sometime? You know who Bob McTeer is? Robert McTeer?
I don't.
He's the former president of the Dallas Fed, Dallas Federal Reserve Bank. And he's a great guy. He's a reasonable guy, very smart guy. I need to get you guys on sometime together and get you to debate the relative merits or demerits of the Fed.
Love it.
Would you do that sometime?
Sure. I mean, he's a
30-year Fed employee, but he's a free market guy like you and me, no question about that.
Okay.
But I think that'd be a good interview. I want to talk about another area. Sometimes libertarians, and you talk about it in your book, you talk about ending foreign aid, and which I think a lot of foreign aid is not good, but sometimes that comes across as protectionism.
Yeah, listen, I don't talk about ending it. I talk about cutting it dramatically. I think you'll find that a lot of libertarians or a lot of Ron Paul fans, are, as you said, are a little bit extreme and scare people off. I don't talk about ending it. I don't talk about ending military bases around the world. I talk about cutting them because I think we've got too many. You know, we don't have to spend trillions of dollars all over the world defending other countries like South Korea, Japan and Germany, when they're very wealthy countries who should spend their own money to defend themselves. We should bring the money home to the American taxpayer. But that doesn't mean I cut all military bases.
Why do you think we give countries that aid, that money?
Well, I think it's like corporate welfare. It's no different than why do we give it to people? I suppose we feel bad. They're our friends. We think they need money. But sometimes it's warranted. There are some countries. I'll give you an example of one I thought was good. For the last 60 years, we've been giving money to Israel. And I'm a big fan of Israel. I love Israel. Yeah. I think Israel is one of our, if not our best friend in the world, certainly
they deserve
our
help.
So there are instances where it's warranted, Jim, but I think overall it would be good for the American taxpayer if we started to weed out the waste, and I think one of the wastes is the United Nations. I think we should tell them to move somewhere else.
I completely agree with you about that.
The
United Nations is a cancer on planet Earth as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, I'm 100% libertarian. If getting rid of that organization is libertarian, then call me a libertarian. I take it completely. Wayne, give us the website, please.
The website is rootforamerica.com, rootforamerica.com, and the book is The Conscience of a Libertarian. And if you go to the website, Jim, it says how Wayne thinks, and you'll find my views on every issue. And I think your people, your listeners will find that they really like my views on every issue.
When we come back, he's got an idea that I kind of like. I may want to change the name, but it's a private sector taxpayer of America organization. He calls it a union. We may want to change that part, but let's talk about that after this break. Stay with us. A little bit of the Stones bringing us back. 7 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. We're visiting with our new friend, soon to be an old friend, Wayne Allen Root, R-O-O-T. The book is called The Conscience of a Libertarian, Empowering the Citizen Revolution with God, Guns, Gambling, and Tax Cuts. Available wherever books are sold. Wayne, one of the things that you propose that I like a lot is something I've been talking about for a long time. I've said that if small business owners ever got really organized the way unions are, that we could rule the world. I really believe, Wayne, that small business owners could rule the world if we got organized. We don't do that. We're a herd of cats. We can't be herded. But you've got something you're proposing called the Private Sector Taxpayers of America. And I like that term, but I don't like it being called a union.
Yeah, well, listen, you know I can't stand unions. My whole book has chapter after chapter about the damage unions have done to the state with the worst economy in America, Michigan, the city with the worst economy in America,
yep,
Detroit,
yep,
to California, which has been destroyed by unions, government employee unions.
That's
the country is being bankrupted by government employee unions. And here's the worst one. Our children's educations have been damaged beyond repair in the public school system by teachers' unions.
Yep.
So all I said in my book, the reason I brought up a union, and by the way, small business could literally be destroyed in this country by universal health care, cap and trade, and card check, the three bills I called the triple crown of small business destruction that Obama wants so badly. He's the world's biggest supporter of unions. It's so corrupt. It's so conflicted of interest. Everything that he does for unions is in return for the money they've given him. He handed
But there's
GM
so many
Christ-
things about this, about your idea for small business owners getting organized that transcends all political parties.
Right. In other words, what I'm saying is nobody fights for small business. So let us prove to the American people how important small business is to the American economy. We are the economy. 75% of new jobs due to small business. And so I'd like us to form a union, the Private Sectors Taxpayers of America, PSTA. And what I mean by union is just get together as a group and
just
show
organize,
America how
get organized.
What's
just,
that, Jim?
Just get organized and make sure that we have some kind of a one voice. I mean, we're too decentralized, we're too segmented, and that's the problem. That's the reason why small business owners are not highly regarded in Washington.
Well, I'd like to have a strike. You know, you say you hate unions, but here's the deal. Let's act like a union for one day. Let's have a one-day strike where we show up and have a march of small business on Washington, D.C. And let's close our businesses for one single day and watch how important we are. Watch the American economy come to a halt without small business. Watch
I actually think that there, and you mentioned it in your title of your book, and I've been, before I even knew about your book, I was saying that in order to get this country back where it needs to be, where we've got as much liberty as we more liberty than we have, more self-determination, the government out of our business, I've been saying for a long time, we're probably going to have some form of a revolution. I'm not talking about guns in a revolution. I'm just talking about some form of resistance by Main Street, which includes small businesses.
Well, my latest commentary at my website, rootforamerica.com, you'll see it when you go there, and it's about the citizen revolution, and the revolution is a peaceful one, but I think what we all need to do is not be partisan. I think we need, as a group, to all agree, everyone listening, we're going to vote out every single incumbent in Congress in 2010. No matter who your incumbent is, some of them are great. There are some good ones, but only a few, a handful. But no matter who they are, let's vote them out as a group and watch the message sent
start over
around
again.
The world.
Speaking of these guys, you also recommended, I agree with this, that every member of Congress should read every word of every bill that they vote on. And I think they should have to take a test. And if they fail the test, they don't get paid.
They should read it out loud. And the one thing you should know about my home state of Nevada, when you think of Nevada, you probably think of gambling. But it's a more important thing you should know. Do you know in the Nevada Constitution, we limit the time politicians can sit in their seats, and I think the whole country should adopt this. Not only do we term limit them out after a couple of terms, but forget about that. We also, in the Constitution, it says they could, the politicians, the state legislature, can only meet every 2 years for 4 months.
Like Texas. Texas does that.
Exactly. And that's why Texas and Nevada are the two states that have no state income tax. It's not a mistake. When you limit the time politicians can meet and open their mouths, you limit the damage they can do on the people.
Yeah. I think we should have a Congress like that in New Washington. I'd like for them to meet every other year. I think I agree with you.
Hey, Wayne,
give us the website one more time, Wayne.
Say that again?
Give us the website one more time.
The website is rootforamerica.com, and the book is available everywhere in the country, Amazon.com, any fine bookstore.
The Conscience of a Libertarian, author Wayne Allen Root. Wayne, will you come back another day?
Anytime, Jim. Anytime at all.
We've enjoyed having you here. We'll do that again real soon. Thanks for keeping up the good fight out there on behalf of small business owners. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.